motivate his actions. Love this would be evident during the early days of the 1957 New York Crusade.
In New York, Mr. Billy Graham makes a dramatic denunciation.
There's something wrong with human nature. What is it? In the nature of men that causes men to lie, hate, cheat, steal, lust, and have pride and bigotry and intolerance and racial intolerance. What is it that causes men to have these terrible things down inside of them? There the problem of the world tonight is sin.
When we heed a certain call.
When he said, I'm reaching 28,000 people every night in that is God. Place is packed in jail. But he said, I'm frustrated, I'm concerned, I'm not reaching people of color. And he said, I don't want this to be a white man's mistake. What must I do? I said, there's one thing you can do. He said, what? I said, go where they are. He said, I don't know. So one Sunday afternoon, we went up there, I did all the praying. I had him save a Methodist church, large and we ended up with 8,000. Then the next time he was here, 10,000 people. He said, well, you know, because Billy said you came to 50 people to come to church. And that was the beginning of the change of the racial climate.
Die. was up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother, and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Sowing seed of love and seed of joy. And we just want to share that with you tonight. We got to hold up the blood-stained banner. And I want you to read Romans 1:17. And I want you to read Galatians 6:7. As you read that, you'll see where if you sow seed, you get a harvest. And some of you are wondering why things ain't working. You to sow a seed of love, of joy and happiness. I'm praying for you right there in Jackson, Mississippi. Those that are going through the storm of life. and some ain't got water, some under water, but God will bring you back to your soul. God bless you, Mary Hawkins, and those in the church, the lights are. I'm praying that the lights come back on, dialing 10 miles, 11 miles. All down to they call me to bitch my lights off. We're going to do some things. So get ready for God to bless you and open up the door for you. And, you know, I was talking to Mary. Mary's a bitch of mine. Light is off. And well, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. You just have to hold on to the bloodstained banner. And I want, that was Dr. King with Billy Graham praying. And we wanted to talk about some things that happened.
I want to turn you to turn with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture.
Romans 1 and 17.
And that is found in Romans, the first chapter, and the 17th verse, and then I want us to turn over to Galatians, the 6th chapter, where in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is explaining what he meant in the 17th verse of the 1st chapter. And this was the verse that shook all of Europe a little over 500 years ago when it was discovered and it was revealed to him in a powerful way to Martin Luther. It was my privilege to speak in the 500th anniversary of the celebration of Martin Luther just a few years ago. And I preached in Wittenberg, and what a privilege that was for me. And here's the sixth chapter, the second chapter, first chapter of Romans, the 17th verse. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith, not by our own goodness, not by our own works, but by faith. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then we turn over to Galatians, the 6th chapter. What a marvelous chapter this 5th chapter is, and the 6th chapter. And the 6th chapter has something I want to speak on, and I've never before preached a sermon on this text. Beginning with verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I want to speak tonight on sowing and reaping. I noticed as we came in, the lush farmland that's here in this Red River Valley. I guess there's nothing quite like it in the United States. I used to come to Fargo quite often, stop here at Fargo, Moorhead. You couldn't get to Winnipeg without stopping on Northwest Airlines here on a DC-3 back in the 40s. We used to go back and forth to Winnipeg a lot, and we stopped here a lot. And I would see this country and often marvel at its lushness and congratulate you and your grandparents and parents that came here and settled here, because this has become one of the great areas of the entire United States. Time magazine, 2 years ago, said that there are three movies that are dealing with farms. One was Country with Jessica Lange, Places in the Heart with Sally Field. Then there was The River in the same year. We've been reading a great deal about the farm problems in America. I don't think they affect the Red River Valley, but they do affect other parts of America. I was born and reared on a farm. And I've read about families that have been losing their family farms. And I was reared on a family farm. And I remember the days back in the 20s and the 30s, back during the Depression, when my father would look for rain and we would pray for rain. And we raised wheat and barley and grain. We didn't have sugar beets, but we did raise other things that would be familiar to you. Then my father had what he called a truck farm, where he raised vegetables. And then we had dairy cattle, and we milked. And every morning from the time I was about 7 or 8, I had to get up at 3 o'clock and go milk cows. And when I was in high school, I milked 20 cows every morning before I went to school. I milked those same 20 when I came home from school. And so I knew a little bit about farm work. And Jesus is talking, or the scriptures talk a great deal about farms and farming. Now, today, we've read a great deal about the suffering and the starvation in places like Ethiopia and Africa. Africa can't grow enough food. 25 of its 50 countries are on the edge of famine. And we have been doing what we can as an organization to try to help in supplying food for them. Jesus, the scripture says that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, and our neighbor is Africa. Our neighbor is Latin America. Our neighbor is Korea, where all the riots are taking place at the moment. The whole world has become a neighborhood without becoming a brotherhood, and that's one of the great problems. But we have a responsibility not only to the person that lives next door to us, not only to the people in our own congregation, not only to the people where we work, but to the people all over the world that have need, whatever their needs may be. It may be a moral need, it may be a physical need or a spiritual need. Now, the newspapers a couple of years ago were full of articles on biotechnology, and we were told that we were on the verge of producing mega cows as big as elephants who would yield a barrel of milk. I can't imagine my father ever having a cow that big. I can't imagine a cow that big giving that much milk, but that's what we're told. And we're developing grains that would make it possible, we're told, for United States farmers to produce 10 times as much cereal grains as we're now producing. Now, I believe that they're in the Bible. There are 5 laws in sowing and reaping. First, you must sow to reap. In China, 2,000 years old seed were taken from an ancient tomb, and they're sprouting today and growing tomatoes, even though they were sown 2,000 years ago. But it wasn't until they were sown that they could produce a crop for reaping. We have to sow to reap. Now in Hosea, it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Think of it. Sow in goodness. Sow in righteousness. Reap in mercy. If you sow in righteousness, living a good life, putting your faith and your confidence in Christ, you are going to reap the mercy of God and the grace of God and salvation. For it is time, the scripture says, to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Has righteousness rained upon you? Because unless you are clothed in the cloth of the righteousness of God, you'll never enter heaven. And that suit of clothes or that dress of righteousness was provided by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. We have a cross on all of our churches, whatever our denomination may be. We agree on one thing, that the cross is the central fact of Christianity. And it's on the cross that Christ hung for our sins and died for us and provided for us a righteousness that you cannot provide for yourself. In Psalm 126:5, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in tears, as it were, so that we might have the joy of salvation. Now, if you want to become a lawyer, or a doctor, or a scientist, or a professor, you have to spend years of study. You still study, and you reap professionally. There was a hillbilly from the South who felt lost at Times Square, New York. So he asked a young fellow with a long beard, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? And snapping his fingers, the bearded man replied, practice, man, practice. And to be a great musician like Pavarotti, you have to practice passionately and perpetually. You reap excellence if you sow effort, but you have to sow in order to reap. Have you been sowing in good deeds? Have you been sowing in repentance? Have you been sowing in faith? Have you been sowing in Bible reading and prayer and church going faithfully? Have you been sowing so you can reap the grace and the mercy of God? Or have you been sowing the wild oats that so many people sow? Or been sowing things for your own lust and your own pleasures?
Keegan is a little ball of fire, and the fire comes out the top of her head with her red hair. She just...
Gave me a window to live. Brother Joy, I'm not sure if that's for you. Brother Cleo, I'm not sure if that's for you.
Waiting is hard. Imagine waiting this long. That's how long it
Georgia. I want to take your mind back to a hill called Calvary, where Jesus died, paid the price for your sins and mine. Anybody here know he died for you? I want to get the fruits of your lips. Do you know he died for you? I want you to know it's one of the spikes that they put in his feet that held him to the cross.
Get ready for the breakthrough. They don't want you to know it, but the breakthrough is God giving to you quick, fast, and in a hurry. Jesus is the reason for the season. And whatever you've been going through, it's going to be all right. So I just want you to get ready for the breakthrough and get ready for what God's going to give you. And he's going to give you something special. And what he's going to give you is going to be very special.
It wasn't the spear that they speared him in the side that held him to the cross. Can I get somebody to say yes here? I want you to know it wasn't the nails that they nailed in his hands that held him to the cross. But when that thief has come down and saved himself, I want y'all to know the night that it was love. Let me hear you say love that held him to the cross. It was love for the prostitute. It was love for the drug addict. It was love for you. You and you, if you know it was love, with those hands in the air, we come tonight to tell you, it wasn't the nails that held it to the cross, but it was the love of God. Come on, Mississippi man, just tell them. The nails that held it to the cross, he could have
in America's favorite caramel. Discover Werther's Original Caramel Popcorn, perfectly popped and covered in rich Werther's caramel. Try it.
Thank you.
good friend for you and Miss Tiffany, those that have a problem. The 23rd number from the Lord is going to shepherd us in that moment. God misses the world. James 15:19. Jeremiah 15:19. God is speaking. St. John 1:1. Numbers 10:8-9. Numbers 31:6. I come to a message to you. Matthew chapter 5:17-19. There's a blessing with your name on it. And I want to let you know that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we on 5 days a week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday morning with the bishop. And I want you to know it's all in God's hands in the world. Those that lost loved ones, I'm praying. Stop the killing, save the baby. I said earlier, and I said it again, we need in these schools, detectives in these schools, and kids bringing guns and knives to school. And we're getting ready to open up every door. Every door closed, we can open up. And every door we open up, and it's going to work. And as God opens up the door, things going to work quick, fast, and in a hurry. You and I can tell me, sit this down. Those in Washington, D.C., those that are in New York, those in Las Vegas, those in Los Angeles. Wherever it might be, God is able to resurrect and bring us to the next level. So we're there now. So I'm praying for you, Mary. I'm praying for you, Francis. I'm praying for you, Sheen. Dr. Gibson, I'm praying for you. Trina, I'm praying for you. Tanya Scott, I'm praying for you. Mary Scott, I'm praying for you. We love every telephone call. Give this to God to do something for this month of September, Labor Day. It's labor with God. Time for you to ask God for what you want. It's time for you to be involved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Isaiah 60:1-3. It becomes darkness without the knowledge of God. And you become the light of God. Isaiah 60:1-3. I want you to read that because God's going to give you revelation knowledge. And the knowledge he's going to give you will break the yoke. The knowledge he's going to give you will open up doors to you. So as the choir sings, it's all in God's hands. Daniel 2:44. They put Daniel in the lion's den, but when they went in the lion, ate them up. So if you see love, you're going to receive love. If you see happening, you're going to see happening. So tonight I want you to receive the joy of God, the healing of God, the breakthrough of God, and whatever you need. God got what you want. Lisa, Joe, I'm praying for you. All is well, Lisa. I want to tell you, Maxine, all is well. Wayne, all is well. Kenneth, all is well. And I want to tell you, Edward, all is well. You get ready for that breakthrough. Get ready for God to open up the door for you. I claim your healing. I claim the healing in your body. God, heal right now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, touch that man, touch that woman, whatever going on in their life. God, I want you to touch them in a special way, because somebody needs to know that God is here. Somebody needs to know God will send a breakthrough, and somebody needs to know God is going to do it what? Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I want you to know God never fails. Get ready. For God to bless you. I'm in no way tired. Some of the bishops, I'm tired. But I'm no way tired. Think about how God brought you out of Arkansas, Mississippi. Think about how God has brought you. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I said, now, well, Father God, we come right now, bless every man, every woman, every listener. God, right now, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Tired. At Harbor Freight,
oh, you get tired.
Power tools for whalers for the other guys.
Because religion, I'm tired. I ain't tired.
Yeah.